Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. This is a sort of a life verse, so if you love this verse as much as I do, I invite you to just say it right along with me. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight.
So with 140 million Americans making New Year's resolutions for 2008, it's a safe bet that some of us have made them. In fact, if I mention just five resolutions, chances are very good that I will hit at least one of some of the many that have been made. That's because pretty much the same resolutions are made each year. There's, of course, the perennial favorite. Everybody knows this. A resolution to, yes, lose weight. This is really very easy, the resolution to lose weight. Losing weight is actually quite difficult. There's a resolution to get out of debt. American debt is astronomical these days. Now, the fact is, most people could make some pretty significant headway in debt reduction in the course of just 1 year. The problem is that the process requires spending less money, and that's no fun. There's the resolution to begin an exercise program, which is actually pretty easy. Again, beginning an exercise program is very simple. It's maintaining it that's hard. Marketers know this, of course, and that's why they have these extensive campaigns in December and January to try to get all these people to sign up for the health clubs and the gyms, because they know that by March, it'll be pretty much pure profit because most won't be showing up anymore. There's the resolution to stop an unhealthy habit. Take your pick: smoking, drinking, overeating, fast food, too much television, working too much, too little sleep, too much coffee. How'd that get in there? Oops. Stopping any habit, of course, is very difficult just by the sheer nature of a habit. A habit is, of course, a habit. If it wasn't a habit, then it wouldn't be a problem, and you wouldn't need to make any resolutions about it. And then lastly, of the five I'm mentioning, is the resolution to get organized. Of course, it takes a certain amount of organization to get organized, doesn't it? Never mind. Now, you would think that with so many people making so many resolutions for so many years, that by now all resolutions would have been reached. Doesn't that make sense? All weight would have been lost. Everyone would be out of debt. All people would be exercising regularly. No one anywhere would have any unhealthy habits. And the whole world would be one organized masterpiece. But of course, such is not the case, is it? In fact, we're not even close. Most resolutions, no matter how good or how commendable, never are reached. In fact, many are abandoned the very first month, sometime in January. And there are several reasons for this. Let me mention five real quick. First of all, they're too general. The resolution is just too general. Losing weight is just a wish unless there are parameters attached to it. It needs to be specific, like I will lose 10 pounds. Or the resolution is unmeasurable. What if I said to you I was going on a trip, and you said to me, where are you going? And I said, no place in particular. And you would say, well, how will you know when you get there? And I would say, I won't. I think a lot of people set goals that can't be measured so they won't know they haven't reached them. It can get discouraging when you know that you haven't reached the goal. But we need to say something like, I will reduce my current indebtedness by half. That can be measured. Or the resolution is not realistic. Now, if the most you've run since high school is across a narrow street, then a resolution to run a marathon on March 1st probably wouldn't make a lot of sense. Not only would it be virtually impossible, it would actually be kind of dumb. And then lastly, the resolution has no deadline. It's been said that a goal without a deadline is just a dream. By the way, when I feel like it is not a deadline. If you felt like it, you'd have done it last year. Now, you may have gathered that I'm not a big fan of New Year's resolutions, subtle though it was. I'm not. I never have been. But I am a big fan of making commitments. And the good news is that we don't even have to wait till the first to make a commitment. So before we make any resolutions for the new year, may I suggest that we give at least equal time to considering the words of Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. So if you're not already there, I invite you to turn to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. From the response of the reading, it looks like most of us are familiar with it, and we are. It's a very well-known passage in the Bible. Many have memorized these two verses. Many have chosen these verses as their life verses. Traditionally, these two verses have been seen by some evangelicals as the quintessential verses for God's personal direction in one's life. Now, it was more prominent as a view when the King James Bible was more commonly read. The King James translates these verses like this: "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." The first part of the translation is fine, no problem. The last phrase is not so fine. Rather than, "and he shall direct thy paths," a much better translation is, "and he will make your paths straight," which is what the NIV and many other translations have. The difference in meaning is really quite significant. The verses are not saying that if we trust the Lord and his wisdom and acknowledge him in all our ways, that he will provide for us a roadmap or a blueprint for our lives, that he will direct our path step by step. It's not saying that at all. Rather, these verses are telling us the place and the purpose of God's word and God's wisdom and God's way as we journey through life. For some people, God has provided a specific life blueprint, but for those that God has revealed a very specific roadmap or detailed plan for their life, I have to tell you the list is quite small. In fact, I would contend that Jesus is the only case where a life plan was clearly laid out in detail in advance. All the rest have had to make choices along the way that, frankly, they many times weren't so sure that they were the right choice. All the rest had to see God's plan unfold as it unfolded, and not in advance. Now, certainly, it's true that there are rare occasions when God revealed a specific plan for a specific individual for a very particular situation. He told Moses, for example, to go to Egypt and lead the Israelites out of bondage. Very specific and very detailed at points. God told Abraham to leave his home and people and go to a place that he would later be shown. God told Mary that she would give birth to a son who would save his people from their sins. But not only were such people rare exceptions to God's usual way of dealing with people, but the roadmap that God revealed was for a very specific time and for a very specific purpose. It wasn't a life plan at all. We might call it a mission plan, very specifically focused for a very narrow span of time. God, you see, does not intend for us to have a blueprint for our life or a roadmap for our lives. God wants us to walk by faith, not by sight. It says it over and over again in the scriptures. God wants us to live out his principles as outlined in his word, and he wants us to live them out not specifically knowing where they will lead. God wants us to trust him, in fact, in the times of uncertainty. The Bible is not a roadmap. The Bible is not a blueprint. The Bible is a guidebook, And it guides us in three primary ways. The first way the Bible guides us is that it provides us a record of how God has interacted with people throughout history. You can learn a huge amount about God and about the way He deals with people and the way He interacts with them just by reading the record. The second way God guides us through His Word is by revealing principles by which life operates. These principles are not guarantees of how things will work out. They're not predictions of the future. They are general principles that operate according to God's ordered world. For example, the Bible says a gentle answer turns away wrath. Generally speaking, that's true. It's true most of the time, but it's not a guarantee. Some people will be angry no matter how gently you speak to them. The Bible says that plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they succeed. Generally speaking, it's a good idea to have wise input when you make plans. And generally speaking, the more and better the input, the better the outcome. We all know that intuitively, if not by experience. But sometimes plans fail that have many advisors, don't they? Haven't you seen plans with a whole host of advisors and they just completely crumble? And sometimes plans succeed without many advisors. You've seen that too. You see, it's not a guarantee. It is a reliable principle. The third way that God guides us through His Word is by giving specific laws and commands that are to be obeyed. They're not optional. They're not given for our debate or where God is soliciting our opinion on these. They are given for one purpose, and that is that we would obey them. What we have in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is an important principle on which we can build our lives. It's one of the reasons I chose it for the eve of a brand new year. It's a great way to begin a new year. It's not complicated, nor is it difficult to understand. The problem is it's easy to ignore, and we often ignore it to our loss. So let's explore the two verses together and see what they teach us. The first command is very simple and direct. We're to trust in the Lord with all our heart, which means that we are to rely upon the Lord completely, totally, fully. Now, this tends to be a challenge because people generally want to be autonomous. We want to call our own shots. We want to be our own boss. We want to direct our own destiny. We want to be the captain of our own ship, and 100 other phrases you could throw in there. One of our lifelong struggles is yielding ourselves in dependence upon God when our natural bent is to be self-sufficient, independent, and self-directed. It's a struggle, even for believers. But the command is clear, and it's unambiguous. I'm called to put my complete trust in the Lord who made me, who redeemed me, and who sustains me. But whenever we're called upon to trust someone, the tendency to do so is determined by the trustworthiness of the person. Isn't that true? For example, if a complete stranger walked in this sanctuary this morning and announced that they are an excellent and unsurpassed investor. They are so good at investing that all of their investments return at least double figures. And they walk up to you and say, "So, would you like to invest $5,000 with me?" Now, that wouldn't require a lot of thought, would it? You don't know the person. You don't know if they can be trusted or not. You don't know their past record. The only thing you really know for sure is that you don't know them well enough to trust them. so you don't. In fact, it would be foolish if you did. But God has a well-proven track record. Consider the testimony of Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth, I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. God is faithful. He's always been faithful. He is now. We can trust him because he is faithful. Which naturally flows into the next point, which introduces a tension. The tension is found in our tendency not to trust in the Lord, but rather to lean on our own understanding. But you might think, well, doesn't the Bible encourage wisdom? Doesn't the Bible implore us to seek out its pages and try to determine how to live wisely? Isn't the book of Proverbs that we're looking in a book of wisdom? Isn't one of the purposes, and it's expressed very early, second verse in fact, that the purpose of the Proverbs is to help us attain wisdom? So what's the problem? The Bible seems to be very keen on wisdom and understanding. It is. First of all, the command is that we not lean upon our understanding. There's a difference between knowing something or thinking we know something and putting our utter reliance upon what we know or think we know. Secondly, we are to place a high premium on the source of our understanding. The Bible is not opposed to wisdom. It's not opposed to us acquiring it and using it. But we are cautioned to be very careful where we acquire it, where we acquire our wisdom. If it comes from a source other than God's Word, and it proposes to reveal truth of fundamental life issues, we need to be very careful. There's a lot of information out there that claims to be true and right, and the fact is, it's neither. The final phrase is not a new thought, but really a continuation of the previous one. We trust God with all our heart by doing two things, by leaning not on our own understanding, and by acknowledging God in all of our ways. To acknowledge means to recognize the authority, the validity, or the claims of. So to acknowledge God means to see him for who he is, to recognize his superior wisdom and insight and power and authority. When we don't lean on our own understanding and wisdom, when we acknowledge God for who he is and what he knows and what he's done, when we trust in the Lord based upon his ways and his words, when we make it a point to investigate the wisdom of God as revealed in the Word of God, so we know that that is indeed what God has actually said, when we acknowledge God in the various arenas of our lives, when we put our trust in him, then we can expect God to make our path straight. So what does it mean to make our path straight? Well, think of a straight path and what it means in the natural world. A straight path is easy to follow. Now, I didn't say it's easy to travel. I said it's easy to follow. It may still be uphill. It may have thorns and briars to navigate and holes to dodge. You may have to travel it on rainy days, or cold days, or dark days. But there's no doubt about where the path is. It's clear, it's easy, you can see it, you can follow it, you can tell where it's going, it's straight. Now that may not sound like a big deal, but life can get very complicated and very convoluted at times. Have you noticed that? One of the greatest gifts of life that we can have is to have clear choices, clear decisions. Supposedly, Yogi Berra said once, whenever you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's Yogi for you. Real helpful. It's amusing, of course, because the whole point of a fork in the road is it's not obvious which one to take, which path you should go on. which can create anxiety and uncertainty and stress. The idea is that if God makes your path straight, if God knows where you're going and where the path leads and the ultimate destination, then when we are traveling it, the journey takes on a completely different feel, an atmosphere. Believers are to have a bird's eye view of life, not a worm's eye view. We can only have a bird's eye view if we trust in the Lord. And we will not have a bird's eye view if we lean on our own understanding. Our own understanding is limited. It's short-sighted. It's ground level. We will not have a bird's eye view if we refuse to acknowledge God for who He is. If we think that we are actually running the show. Have you ever heard anything so ridiculous as to think that we are running the show? We're not even running the show in our own lives. We are not sovereign over anything. Only God is sovereign. And that's why He calls us to live according to His principles. We don't know what the future will hold. He does. He knows the path. He's made it straight if we will follow His principles. No promise that it will be easy, but the path will be straight. And that's a huge, huge blessing in life. The best approach to life is the approach of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. To realize that our insight is skewed and limited. To realize that our understanding is flawed and often corrupted. To realize that our dependence upon God and upon His grace isn't partial, it's total. It's 100%. When we approach life this way, God will make our path straight. Maybe not easy, maybe not quick, maybe not painless or rosy, but the choices and the decisions will be clear. And when your choices and decisions are clear, you are in great stead. Because most of life's difficulty comes when we have a hard time knowing what to do and what choices to make. Life will take on a simplicity and a straightforwardness. And unlike Charlie Brown, we won't have a tendency to lose our ball in the weeds. Life will be less complicated. Our path will be straight. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we not only give you thanks for the specific commands and laws and principles that you have revealed in your word, and the history of how you have interacted with human beings over the centuries. But you have given us the blessing of overarching umbrella principles on which we can anchor ourselves in life. And for us to have a recognition of how limited our own perspective really is, and how we tend to see life from the horizontal. But you see life from above. And how we need to trust you with all our hearts. How we need to fight the temptation to lean on our own wisdom and our own understanding, which is severely limited and often skewed. To acknowledge you, Lord, for who you are, what you know, your consistent and faithful ways. And then we can expect, then we can anticipate that you will make our path straight. What a tremendous blessing it is in life to be traveling on a straight path. And even when things come along that we didn't expect or couldn't possibly anticipate or predict, times that may be very, very difficult and painful. What an encouragement it is to know that we are on a straight path. And over the course of time, as we travel on it, you will reveal more and more of what your desire for us is, and what you desire to do in us, even through the experiences that we have. Thank you for this provision. Thank you for this commitment that you have made. Thank you for this principle upon which we can rely. May we build our lives around it, trust you, lean upon you, acknowledge you, so that our path will be straight. In Jesus' name, amen.